Here we go. This is a princess and the and or the priest.
You should be recording.
Hey. It could be over, man. I woke up thinking funny stuff. She hasn't talked to me much this morning, so I don't know where to put that. I wasn't able to interest her even vaguely in Paraguay, which is a cheap little country in South America. That's exactly it. Lisa, it would look like this. Except way off at this one side, you see the Andes mountains. Off to the west, you'd see this like wall across the world. That would be the only difference. And everybody speaks. Well, I don't know, people around here speak Spanish too, so I guess it really would be a huge culture shock for us.
Yeah, they speak English.
Absolutely.
And half of them is Spanish.
Spanglish. So, and this has got, I was hoping for something, well, you know, it was up to Lisa how she wanted to treat it, but it was better than most of my Saturday morning jabbers go badly to the point where I really have to apologize. This time I didn't have to because it was nothing I was really too invested in the first place. She wasn't too invested in it either. She wasn't even interested in figuring it out. Somewhere, and it would be the boonies of Paraguay. It's a place of 8 million people, about the size of California, and we would totally be on the other end of it from where all the people are, and so, you know, just, I don't know, nothing to it. Anyway, so there it is. I might bring it up again with Lisa some other time to see if she's amiable. At one time, I don't know if she was sick or I don't know if she ate too many poppy seeds or something. And she said, yeah, Jason, the next time we go traveling, we should go and just spend a month somewhere.
I didn't say a month.
I said
about two to three weeks.
2 to 3 weeks. Well, that's fine. 2 to 3 weeks. Okay. And so, yeah, I've been trying to find interesting places for her to go, and so far she's wrinkled up her nose at all of them. And it's like, at night, she really wants to go to Scotland. I think if Lisa got her druthers, she would retire to Scotland, one place on earth. It costs about double of where we live now. And it's like, we could never do that. Plus, they don't want us over there. Those guys got rid of their retiree program if they ever really even had one. The one that people were using to retire to the UK, they got rid of that. They do not want people. So there it is. Welcome to the joy of being somebody, being part of a group that people really don't want. let's see. What else is that? Lisa, you can always just pop in here and talk about something you find interesting. Although I did kind of a review of Red One on Cohen Meanderer, we didn't do a darn thing for Princess Anne or the Priest. Did you want
to... I liked it. I thought it was a cute little movie.
And apparently, it's doing really good out there, and it's going to be a fine movie. It's just that in our part of the world, they let it stay for a week or a week and a half.
No, it was there from Friday through the next to Thursday. And then
what God? That's it. What the heck? Kind of, because I'm sorry, all these villains coming in, nobody really wants them. Red One has some possibilities. I liked it.
I really enjoyed the poignant moment of when the bodyguard that guy talking to the dad.
Yeah.
And we're talking about choices, the choices in our lives and how they make us who we are.
Right. But he wasn't some paragon either. He had gotten disenchanted with the whole Christmas thing because of all the adults being
so nasty.
They were doing some ball time. Apparently Santa likes doing a little bit of ball time to get himself in the mood. And he was a cool Santa, I gotta tell you.
Yeah.
Boy, was he buff, man. He had some muscles on him, didn't he? But you have to see, in that movie, he was doing, like, gymnastics.
Yes.
On this stuff. He would shrink up into a little bitty size, go down the chimney, and then he'd go, woo! He'd drop these little miniature presents, and then they would swell up.
Yeah.
And then he would get real small and get shoop, and he'd go whoop up the chimney. And he was like, I'm not really sure what it is. Like, well, those jumping spiders almost.
And he would definitely need to eat all those cookies for the carb fuel to get him through that night.
Although
he didn't like macaroons.
That's right. And it was the security guy, I guess he was a bodyguard pretty much.
Sure, yeah.
Was
he was the elf dude.
Yeah, which stands for extremely large and fierce, or no.
No.
He was saying a couple of things, and he said, but it didn't really mean extremely large and fierce. It's like, okay. This is all wrapped around this guy who did really strange kind of research work for seedy situations. And he wasn't married to his wife anymore.
Actually, I don't think he was ever married.
Oh, he may not have been.
He was the biological.
Yeah, and he just wasn't doing anything with his kid.
But they had never married.
Oh, that is.
And because she married some other guy who's a doctor.
Oh. Right. Okay, anyway, so yeah. There was two or three little storylines going.
Yeah, because then you have the Christmas bitch.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have the...
That burned on this heartbeat girl.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, she was evil. Hey, evil in this movie, too. She's being typecast, I swear.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, I'm sorry, go ahead. And then there was what?
I guess Santa's brother.
Oh!
Looks more like Satan.
What was the name? Krampus?
Yeah.
And Krampus' biggest thing was he was his own day, you know, his stuff was him. And of course, the only thing that Krampus likes to do is to play this stupid game where you just smack each other as hard as you can.
And of course, he's bigger and stronger than everybody.
Sorry, what?
He's bigger and stronger than everybody, so he always wins.
Yeah, well, except at the very end, it seems like something happened to him.
The Christmas witch.
The Christmas witch got him, and she knocked him from him, which is good. Which was why, I guess, he kind of had a thing for her in one point. But they had kind of had a falling out, because, you know, she's evil, and he was just a jerk. He wasn't evil.
Yeah.
all the things about being naughty. She was actually a Satan figure in that she wanted to wipe out all the naughty people. She was tired of naughty people.
But the thing is, I thought it was interesting that she could recognize the naughtiness in herself.
Oh, no, because, no, she was solving the problem for the world. She was going to make the world a better place. And she just had to be naughty to do it. That's all. I kind of understood her thing, which is why I say, you know, Satan had, you know, he had a point. It wasn't going to work, but he had a point. You know, he was pushing his line, and a third of the people bought into it, you know? A lot of people down here buy into it, too. So it's like, well, there you go. Anyway, so yeah. She was a piece of freaking ass. But she had a pretty good plan. And although it seemed like toward when it got down to defeating her, it seemed kind of easy, you know? It wasn't intricate or complex, you know? She pretty much fell into all the little snow globes that she had manufactured.
To trap
naughty people. And when she fell into it, she broke some of them, and then she kind of got sucked into it, and that was it. Did she end up being in a snow globe at the very end? I seem to recall that nobody really died or anything bad really happened out of it. She was stuck in a snow globe, and that was it. That was the end of the story. It was good that way. You could call it a family field because nobody died.
I mean, there's a little fighting.
Oh yeah. It was a violent little movie, but yeah, you know, they were fighting. So yeah, okay. Lisa gives it two thumbs up, maybe. Oh yeah, here it goes. Two thumbs up from LJ, and I thought it was okay. Which it just goes to show you, if any film is critically panned, Lisa and I tend to like it. And it will. I don't know. It's all also kind of disconcerting with all of the videos that Lisa and I have. You can watch them all free on almost every streaming service. You just have to put up with the commercials.
Yeah.
Of course, I've got the YouTube set up, so it doesn't give me too many commercials. Anyway. So there it is. I find myself, these days I'm doing contract work for the Air Force. And that's all I'll probably say about that, except that I'm being reintroduced to the overarching concept of efficiency. And of course, it's all being brought up because Trump got reelected, right? He's going to be president again. And he's got Ramaswamy and Musk in the hopper, and he's come up with this thing called, I don't know if he came up with it or he just said, that's a great idea, you guys do it.
Department of Government Efficiency.
Yeah, the Department of Government Efficiency. That's not a real department. That's not real. You go, who cares? You're just making up a fun name for it. And they call it Doge, which is kind of weird. I figured it would look and sound good and call it Dutch or something like that. That's okay. Doge. Anyway, and you know what? I have never been a fan of efficiency, especially in government. I don't want them to be efficient. Because I feel like, I don't know if you can speak to this as much as you want to, I feel like the fact that government can't really do most of the things it says it can do buys me a lot of freedom and liberty. That a much more efficient government would be able to track me and stop me from doing things I really want to do. I don't want to really do anything too illegal. Who was I talking about this with? You know, we were talking about the fact that we make use of the house next door to us, even though it does not belong to us, means we did not ever buy it. We are paying the taxes on it.
And each other.
Well, of course. Yeah.
And keeping the landscape
yeah.
up.
Yeah, so that the city doesn't get too weird. Which is a bad thing. It's like, I can't believe Tucumcari, with all of its problems, can afford a code enforcement officer going around. And you're going, you know what? I think you guys should find something more pleasant to do. Because this doesn't help Tucumcari much. You know, like, well, it looks better. And you go, yeah, all of the empty houses, we can tell right off whether anybody's living in them, because their yard look crappy, and the code enforcement can come and put as many citations on the door as they want, and it's not going to get fixed. I am not a fan of efficiency. For instance, when I go to work, I have little pieces of equipment that I maintain that are kind of stretched out among several buildings. One of them is about a good mile away from one of the others. They have given me kind of a place to sit. I haven't really been using it. except once or twice a day, I will go and I will check in, because that's where I have my military email is set up on a computer. At my desk, quote desk, which I think is hilarious. Anyway, and
Ooh, they've been over here working.
Yeah,
we're going to get
hot there.
I already turned it down.
Okay, well then I left the circuit.
It was all the way over.
Oh, I'm great. We turned it down. Anyway. So, yeah, I will go and get my messages in this one building, then hike about a mile to the other building. Now, if I was efficient, I would plan better. I would make sure I only had to make that hike once, you know, and then go and do the things that need to do, and then hike back or whatever. A whole lot of people use their cars for this, but it's their personal cars. I don't like that. You know, I don't like wasting the gas, really. Anyway, so I'll go over to the other building and I'll do a couple of things I'm thinking about. Then I say, I gotta go and type out an email. I thought, well, you know, I could have thought of this earlier, but I don't. So I go back and I type the mile back. And then I'll do that and I'll say, oh gosh, you know, I gotta go do something up for another building again. So it's like, ah. And you can sit there and you can make yourself insane by saying I'm being so horribly inefficient, but to be honest,
you're not worth
it. Can I be honest? I think it is of very limited value, and I think that's why most Americans are fat. It's because they're too dang efficient. Quit being efficient, and you wouldn't have that, you know?
So all you're hiking back and forth between the buildings
is good for me.
Yeah, physical exercise.
That's right, which is what I really need. I don't really need to do what I do quickly, because then I have nothing to do.
Yeah.
It's really kind of weird that way. So you don't really want to get wrapped up in that business too much. At least so far. I think I'm finally going to have the last piece on Monday so that I don't have any excuses for saying, oh, I can't do that because, you know, I don't have this thing, I don't have this token, I don't have this card. That's all going to get solved Monday. I've been told, I got an email yesterday that said this was going to happen.
Okay.
So, that's cool. I'm going to go get all that taken care of. That'll take over a couple of hours, please. Anyway, so yes, don't, I said, I swear it would be something that's really important to teach people is to say, quit trying to be so efficient. Because it's generated so many problems for you. Most Americans are schizophrenic, too. They're just crazy. They just run around like little crazed lunatics. Let me tell you, I used to work for a European company. Actually, I do now again. The actual home office for the company I worked for is in Ireland. Now, I actually work for the U.S. subsidiary for various reasons. But anyway, I used to work for a Norwegian company, right? When I was doing seismic stuff. And that was the first thing those guys would always say is, you Americans are just so, you just got to be busy all the time. It's almost like you've got some kind of weird drug in your system that you just can't just sit there and say, you know what, everything's fine, just take it easy. So half the time you guys screw up stuff because you're just running around like madmen, you know. And I was like, well, this is, you know, I didn't know any better, so I didn't have to comment. The other guy said, yeah, that's why we're in charge of this world and you're not. And I remember this one older Norgie fella just smiled and said, you guys can have the world if you want to. I don't care. And he said, all I know is I'm not all stressed out like you are. I sit down, I come to work, I drink my coffee, I have my pleasant. Let me tell you, the boats that the Norwegians had, they had a chef. They ate well. And they had, what are they called, porters. They had porters that would come into your cabin and clean it up for you. Oh, wow! We didn't have that. We were with the Russians. Either you didn't clean up crap, or you had to do it yourself. Because Russians are kind of like as strung out as Americans can be. Which is bad, because I guess the Russians were trying to compete with us. Which is just insane. You know? The Norwegians weren't. Anyway, so yeah. Now that's not like it. I'm sure they were very, very efficient. But I'm saying, you know what, if you're going to be strung out like this anyway, why don't you just use it to get some better exercise? And say, oop, I got to take care of this. Oop, I got to take care of that. I went over here, and then I went over there, and then I'm going to come back over here, and I'm just going to kind of, you know, do a little of this, a little of that. And, so yeah, I have never been big on efficiency. Although I tend to work kind of quickly anyway, it looks like I may be efficient, but I'm really not. I'm just crazy. Rhetoric. Lisa can make comment whenever she wants to.
Okay.
Say my thing is correct or not correct, or yes, it's true, my husband is schizophrenic, or, you know, or yes, he is not an organized person. You go, I don't see the great...
Which is really funny because your mom is so basically organized.
Oh, see, now you should have said that. We are supposed to talk to her every time. But that's not a bad thing to say about her mom.
No.
But maybe me not being more organized is kind of because it just made me crazy as a kid. I don't know.
You know...
I don't remember mom being all that organized when
you were younger.
When I was a teenager, you know, but mom was really a bigger influence in my life. Anyway, so yeah, I cannot say, except to say, no, I'm not really particularly interested in being organized or efficient. I figure it's always going to work, you know, It never works out usually for me anyway. Even when I try really hard to have everything together, it still kind of goes spot. I've got to just shoot from the hip, which I'm actually half decent at. Or at least I have proven to be that over time at work. I can't speak to anything else. Now, I see the great virtue of having the temple be organized.
Right.
Which, guess what, is exactly what the scripture was talking about, was my house is a house of order, my house is a house of prayer, my house is a house of this. I do not know. Now, you always have to be careful, because apostles can always come back and say, well, in addition to Christ meaning this, he meant this too. Which is like, oh, be a really good housekeeper. Don't have a messy house. Which I'm grateful, Lisa. Lisa doesn't keep a very messy house. Although she does have her piles, and I love her.
Well,
it's just stuff, and there's no place to put the stuff. But even when we got another house, she's not using the other house to put her stuff over there. That's okay. You don't have to be efficient.
I need my vacuum cleaner. Yeah. 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 It jumped over. The water got everywhere,
yeah. Yeah, I think I fixed that up for the most part. I think you can try it, Lee.
Okay,
I hope you're not putting it off.
I have to.
Don't bother. Either it's going to burn out or it's not. We have a 5-year warranty. Let's make sure we try it now. Don't just sit there not using it for 5 years and all of a sudden it's ours. That's my thinking. Anyway. I'm sorry. Can I? Can I change this? What's this? You got a zero. That's like the front thing. Obviously, it's going to be nicer.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a little nicer. Enough. Okay. So, yeah!
Because you have your legs covered.
I don't have any problem with
it.
Yeah. It's blowing out of my top half. I'm grateful for that. That would probably have half the problem. It wasn't down at my face.
It's the sun beaming into the...
Yeah, it probably is.
Yeah, see, that's
I can't see. Why can't you see? I love you, though. Oh, you're trying to make it so you don't
see. Yeah. It's right there.
Okay. I'm glad for people like my mother. I'm sure the world needs incredibly work. Many organizations need very organized people.
You know, and I know I was organized, and I'll tell you why. Because when I moved into that house,
And
I went to go clean out all the stuff, I got rid of some of the stuff, and when I went to go put it back in, I couldn't fit it in.
So she was really good at
spending time. Oh, my God. I don't know how she did it. It was like putting together a 3D puzzle or something.
Trying to repack anything that you can purchase from China. Those guys must have a big vacuum sucking machine for when they do packing so they can make everything as tiny as possible. Because once you take it out of that package, you'll never get it back in. Ain't never gonna happen. So, there's that. Another thing where I say, I'm glad I'm not organized. I'm glad I'm not that efficient. I have no intention of being so. Go with the flow. Easy going. I need to be easy going because I have a natural tendency toward my blood pressure, right?
Yes.
So, anytime I can not be stressed out, that's important stuff. Anyway. So, I don't know if there's money to be made. Maybe I should write the ultimate anti-efficiency book. You know, a little booklet. And put it out on Amazon and make $1 million. That would be something to happen. Then I might be able to talk her into Paraguay. Potential price implication. We've got enough money now. I don't care. We don't have to move anymore. Here we go. We're paying it. Now she'll probably want to move into a bigger town so she can have things more convenient. Maybe so. then she wouldn't have to make all these recordings with me. Because the only time we make these is when we're sitting in the car going to some distant place, huh?
Yeah, but...
We tried to do it while we were at home sitting, and it worked pretty good, but Lisa always wanted to have a really structured subject, and this and that, and if we would get off course, which is, it's my responsibility to get off course, she would be unhappy, she would be grumpy about it. So that kind of died, but it seems to have worked us being in the car, because Lisa's very worried about the driving. And I think that keeps it so that she can't get too upset with me for subject changes. Flipping and flopping around. I am whole. Dang it, I actually have the title. This is actually entitled to one of the recordings over on Cohen Meander. Don't ever be afraid not to go over to Cohen Meander. There's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of recordings over there. Because...
No, you're not very efficient.
Well, yeah.
Lots and lots and lots and lots
and lots. I didn't say! I'm sitting in a car going back and forth to some Air Force base, you know, it's boring to listen to other people. I don't like listening to myself because I never go back and listen to any of my recordings later.
You kind of do.
Except to just check and make sure that it actually doesn't sound like garbage. That's what they sound like, garbage. I have no idea. We'll find out. Because I am using that codec is really, really tiny. Doesn't take up a lot of space. So the sound quality, it just sounds weird. It doesn't sound bad, just weird. A little bit. You know, it's like, this is how my voice really sounds. But it sounds this way because I'm really crunching this down into a little piece of all and handing it to you. The great part is, though, it plays everywhere. Most computers can play these files, these wonderful little recordings, and even people that I say go to Internet Archive, which I hope survives. It's currently being sued by a bunch of publishers because they say we're a lending library, and apparently during COVID they kind of broke some promises and some rules, maybe. And they're all coming home. All that activity is coming up to roost. They might be getting into big trouble. I tend to give money to just a handful of things. I give a little bit of money every year to Wikipedia because I use Wikipedia so much. I think it's important. I've only done it once, but I might do it again. I gave a little bit of money to the No Agenda show.
You've never given money to PragerU?
No, I've never given money to PragerU. I give a little bit of money to NetBSD, although, to be honest, I'm really not using it. It's actually an operating system. I haven't been using it lately, so I haven't paid the maybe about a year. And who else did I give? Oh, I give the lion's share of money to the church. It's not just tithing. Lisa and I give a lot for fast offerings, and we give some for humanitarian aid, too. Because that's a good thing to do. I am hoping that this stuff counts as charity. Because my tendency is to be kind of a standoffish person if I can get away with it. You know, I don't like hanging out with other people. They kind of make me crazy. So, I've got a really good job for right now for that. Because I don't really have to interface with people a lot. Anyway. So, yeah. With the church talks about charity, it's all about loving other people. And I think I do a pretty good job if what love means is
just being kind.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know? You know, I do a great job of that because my tendency is I just want other people to leave me alone and not bother me. And I do a really great job of trying not to bother other people. I think I'm particularly well suited for this in those circumstances. If that's what loving other people constitutes, then I'm doing a fine job and I shouldn't worry about it. But all these people always talk about, oh, there's somebody on the side of the road. You need to pull over and help them, even though they've all got guns and knives.
Yeah, like that lady. You kill me. You kill me.
Yeah, last time I tried to, it wasn't the last time, but it was a while back.
That's
I tried to
crazy
pull this gun. And I think it was some lady who was in shock because she's just gone off the road. I don't know if a truck driver got knocked her off the road or something. But she was, you could see a car up there that was obvious, driven off the road into the market. And she was looking for some help, and it's like, I'm just not in the mood to sit here and be threatened by somebody with a knife because they're so scared that I'm going to rape them or something. I don't know. And there's no way to really resolve that. You know, how do I prove to somebody that I won't rape them?
Yeah.
How does one accomplish this? You go, you can't. And you go, okay. So when I got down the road a little bit, I thought about it. I said, oh, I can call the state police. He can go pick her up. He's got a gun, too. She will drop her knife in the face of the gun like that. So I did that, and I don't know how ultimately worked out because it's not important. And they don't really call back and tell you. So yeah, so, you know, and it was like, so was that charitable? Did you go, you know, it depends who you talk to. Would I give that story in general conference? You know, if I got asked to speak, would that be one of my little, you know, icebreaker stories to lead into talking about charity? And you go, maybe, because I'm just that way. I'm just obnoxious enough to do it. But I would say most of them would not do that, and they would talk about all of the hours and days they spent painting some old little lady's house, or spending 5 hours a day sitting with some comatose person. And you're going, these are all wonderful things, but I'm not going to do them. Because I don't expect anybody to do it for me. If I become a comatose wreck, throw me in a freaking dumpster and let me die. You know, don't feel weird about, oh no, you may do that. You know, I'm not saying anything bad about the people that do that. Good on them. Wonderful. I'm sure they will go to heaven with a lower number than I did. You know, the closer you get to one, the better you are, right? The Lord loves you. And you go, no, I'm probably going to be about 50,000 out of 50,002. But I'm still going to slide under that wire, I hope. I really worry sometimes that God's going to say, well, I really didn't want to, but you met all the qualifications. You always do that, Deborah. I don't want to bless you with half of the jobs you've got, but you qualified for them. I couldn't just say no. I don't want to make Heavenly Father out or Jesus out being that kind of a guy. I don't know if they are. Anyway. All right, Lee, you're going to have to take over. It's starting to get weird.
We need take over.
Talking. You're going to go down that road?
Yes.
Okay. You said I didn't slow down?
Yeah.
We went from the main road. I'm doing air quotes when I say main road because Highway 209 is not a main road.
No, it's just
basically the road flows to Jim and Carrie, and there's several people that use it. If you're trying to get from Tucumcari to carry the Clovis, that's the obvious route. Now we are on the road that goes between Greeny and Hereford, which only about 3 people in the whole universe feel the need to use, because how many people from Hereford actually have need to go to Greeny? Or Greeny that need to go to Hereford? I don't think there's very many people that do. I've always wondered, when I'm traveling out here in the middle of the back stretches of New Mexico, who thought up where pavement should go? You can say that it's all drawn on lines, every mile.
Like a grid.
In most places, things are kind of set up kind of on a grid, except really old places where roads came from deer trails. New Mexico came late enough that it's basically on a grid. This road actually runs along one of the grids. And the road that we're going to turn on to get to Texaco, that one runs on a grid too. Not a very straight one. But that's okay. People back when they were doing this, they weren't very good at keeping things straight. I understand. It doesn't bother me. Anyway. But yeah. How come this one's paved? How come the one we're going to get on is paved? How many people drive from Texaco to Bellevue? How often does that road use?
Maybe they needed to pave it through buses bringing kids to Texaco school.
Right, that's true. And I mean, 50 years ago, which is, I think, the last time this road saw maintenance, there was probably several hundred families out here, where now there is like 2.
Well, maybe.
See, this is also one of the problems with efficiency. We have almost made so efficient this part of New Mexico that it doesn't even need to exist. They don't need this place. This place doesn't grow anything any better than any place else does. It doesn't really grow anything. You can plant wheat, but it's dumb too. Wheat grows a lot better than someplace else, like Nebraska. You can grow corn here, but it's stupid because you have to water it, where if you do it up in Kansas, you don't have to water it. You can grow these cute little windbreak trees.
They're
half dead. And the whole thing is, what is it a windbreak for? The houses on this side of the windbreak? There's no
house. No, the north is over there, so the wind is blowing.
Yeah, I know.
North wind during the... Yes, so it would break some of the snow to keep it from...
Off of this road that nobody uses. Ta-da! It's okay. Most of this stuff is 50 or 60 years old. Somebody had a good idea back then or had extra money. Oh, that's an interesting article that I read this morning, Lee. New Mexico has a big problem.
Oh, yeah?
Do you know what the big problem is? We earmark money for projects, but then we don't spend that money. Isn't that a problem you wish the federal government had? And New Mexico is sitting here navel staring, saying, we're really screwed. And I'm saying, that's fine for me because the state, part of the state budget is paying for my pitching. So I don't mind that they have this problem. That means they're not going to cut my pension. And they're probably going to keep paying it into the future until New Mexico finally just kind of blows away because it has no reason to be.
I'm supposed to slow down.
Kind of like Bellevue.
But I'm not going to slow down.
There's a sign that says you need to slow down here.
It says 45.
Well, there's absolutely no reason to do that.
I know. And then you get here and it's 55.
I've been wondering if that's really somebody's house or if that car just keeps sitting there. It could be somebody's house. Just goes to show you. This is a whole bunch of flat nothing. Why? Yeah. Anyway, I guess I don't care. Doing amateur radio out here is a farce. There's nobody out here. Nobody out here with another radio. So it's like, you're talking to nobody. We have a huge statewide network of different trend of repeaters. So in Tucumcari, Carry, you can make a call and it goes up to the repeater in Tucumcari Mountain, and then it gets shuttled all over the state. People in Farmington hear what you're saying. But yet, guess what? It's usually incredibly quiet. It's a whole state of really not a whole lot of activity. It even goes to Albuquerque, too. And usually when you pick up something, it's usually some person in Albuquerque says, yeah, I was just monitoring. You have a problem? No. Do you go, got any messages you need to relay? Nope. And you go, okay. Good to hear your voice. Goodbye. At least they're kind of nice about it.
Yeah.
But they said CRC. Are we supposed to go down CRB? I thought it was CRC.
Huh?
The Pedro.
All I know is it's right here.
Yep, it's paint. How do you know?
Because
look at
those trees.
Yeah.
In between those trees is a mile marker 8.
Yeah.
And we turn up here near the mile marker 9.
It's supposed to be going down. It's going to be like mile marker 7.
No.
No, it's going to be going.
Look at it.
Really? Huh, well, go figure.
It says mile marker 9.
Up.
Well, it's our turn.
Okay. You're getting kind of faster. Here we go. Okay, well, let's see. Anything else interesting to talk about today?
Right?
We went and saw a movie. I think I'm finally coming to grips with the work I'm doing right now. I really struggle with a whole lot of... I've got issues, just in case.
Getting
a
whole
lot
of money for not doing much of it.
Well... I don't like to talk like that, but okay. I think I'm finally coming to terms with it. I'm going to be okay. It helps when I read about people who retire to Spain. There's an article today about somebody that retired to Spain and said, "Oh, I wish I would have done this years ago." And what had stopped them from doing it years ago was they had a dog. And it's like, oh, you've got to be kidding. You go take the dog, pound, put it to sleep, and go with it. Come on. Good night. I'm sorry. I know a bad person. Okay? Anybody ever want to know that? Dogs are not my neighbors. I don't keep dogs because I wouldn't be thinking, oh, I'm okay with dogs. But yeah, it's just... These people who make the dogs the member of their family, and people who don't do things. It's my fur babies, you know, the guy. I said, and they look at you like you're sick in the head because you go, I don't treat animals like children. So there's definitely children. Do I have responsibility to them? Absolutely. Do they want me to help them? Gosh, no. So. You know, there's not really a whole lot I can do for my kids, but from there, if they ever need me, of course they go, oh, I don't know, that'll make it so horrible, and they go, why do you think that? Well, I just want a whole lot of money, and I want you to just give it to me. And you go, oh, no, I'm not going to give you money. You know, that's not good. Then you won't turn out to be a responsible person. So anyway, okay, sorry. Spaniards. Those guys went out to Spain. They said it's wonderful. It's slower. They said one of their biggest hang-ups was that you had to know that when you wanted something and you went to a store to get it, half the time the store would either be closed for siesta or they'd just be closed for the afternoon, period. So if they were the only guys that had it, you just have to come in the morning. You know, you could have made all your running around in the morning. And then you did other things in the afternoon because you figured half the country would be closed down. This is a fun thing. All of the kids we used to take the temple trips loved this hill because it was almost like
it gives you butterflies going down, man.
Yeah,
it's so cheap.
If you go fast enough, you go straight while the road's pulled out from under you. There's somebody else on this road. That's weird.
Yeah, I know, and I'm doing 75-80.
I don't think they're actually this speed up on this little bit, but I'm sure there's some
sand. I'm sure it's supposed to be 55. Because,
yeah,
I mean, look, it's not really two lanes. It's just one lane. So if somebody comes towards you, you really got to move to the very, very edge.
I think it's a future dirt road, which I think the speed limit on those is supposed to be 40. But no, that's
or they step on their brakes.
Yeah, he's making a turn to get out to this place. He's just saying, whatever work he's got going. That's
good.
The only people that are on the
road
actually have a bigger purpose of being, except for me.
Did he just turn to get off out of the way? Because he knew I was driving like
a... Is that what he's doing? Is he getting back on the road?
Yeah.
I sometimes do that, too, because I hate being close to people on roads. That's why I like back roads. I don't like the road between Ragland and Melrose because there's too many people on that road. I don't like it. And invariably, they crawl up your butt. There can be two cars for that entire span of the road, and they feel the great need of riding your butt. Lisa does that. Lisa followed me home. So, Red was. She was right on my butt the whole time. I wish she would have passed me.
I'm telling you.
What are you telling?
I would watch your light.
Yeah.
And past a certain point, I'd go 1,001. And half the time,
you were too close.
Half the time, I was 4 seconds behind.
I don't care. I wish you would have gone past it, because obviously you wanted to go faster than I was going.
Well, at one point, you were doing like 70, and it's like, oh, good. And then you slowed down. And it was like, what is his purpose?
Because
he's slowing down.
Even if I could see 1,000 miles in every direction, I know there's no cars around me. If I'm going too fast, the cop will invariably come up out of some gopher hole. and bing, he got me. It's like, good. Don't you have anything better to do out here? I say you come out here to take a nap because you don't want to have to do anything. Come on, man. Anyway, so. Yeah. These Spaniards were... The guys who went to Spain said, we wish we had gone to Spain a long time ago. They thought they couldn't do it, but then they kind of put pencil to paper after a while. They said, no, we can do it. And so they did it. And, of course, I'm trying to get Lisa talked into stuff like this, and she's not. We're going to end up having 2 or 3 billion dollars by the time I'm 62, and she actually says, okay, now you can do it. No, we won't have 2 or 3 billion, but we'll have 700,000. If we're saving up on money the way we are now, because... Of course, I burned through cars pretty rapidly. All this driving around we have to do. And that's a problem, you know. It's like, well, Lisa, after we retire, are we going to just stay in Tucumcari carry and buy the groceries here? I bet you the answer is, of course not. It costs too much. It's cheaper to go into Portales, you know, and put an extra 100, 200 miles every trip on a vehicle. It costs a lot of money to buy. Oh, it's okay. I love you, Lee. I just know what I'm going to get. She's got this look where she says, I would like to say something. But I don't want to say that right. Is that what you're doing?
Well, it's hard to find stuff.
I understand. I understand completely. That's why I'm saying, you know, we probably need to just go.
I'm serious.
Tucumcari isn't that great a place
to retire to. Tomato sauce.
I understand. Okay.
I couldn't find tomato sauce.
Isn't that amazing? It's a pretty basic item.
Yes!
Anyway.
They had all kinds of diced and chopped and stewed tomatoes, but no tomato
sauce.
Those
guys have almost an entire tomato aisle. It's amazing to look at. But yeah, anything that you might want, they don't have. It's usually some kind of tomato jalapeno mix. They decide that everybody just loves. I think it comes from the fact that our grocery store in Tucumcari is usually the small specialty grocery store in other places. You know, a place that has a big grocery store in it, like Walmart or something. And they have to stay in business in that town too. So they tend to stock items that Walmart isn't going to stock.
Yeah,
and so that means that all we have in our place is a stupid specialty store that costs too much and that really doesn't stock what anybody would really need.
Yeah. And they've changed it so much.
Yeah.
They're trying to get more variety, but they don't have much of what they're stocking.
And of course, Lisa's got the whole dairy-free, gluten-free situation, which makes it all.
And I even asked them, I said, do you guys have any dairy-free ice cream? No, we don't stock that.
And you go, could you order some for me? No. And it's like, okay, now I get the impression how low it is.
And hey, you know, I needed some lines. I was only going to buy two lines. But it says $5 for $1. And it's like, okay, so I put five in my little plastic bag, and I brought it up there, and they charged me 39 cents a piece. And it's like, no. Instead, there's a sign over there that says $5 for $1. And I was like, well, you know, I think I've seen that sign, but this says. And it's like, this is why I don't shop here unless I absolutely have to. And I told it to him like that, and that laughed. Really, torched my jaw.
And see how exercised Lisa gets about this? It's like, I don't understand why she wants to retire in Tucumcari.
Because they usually don't shop there.
She would rather have to go through all the crap of having a vehicle, insuring it, all this other stuff, putting gas in it, having regular maintenance things with it, so she can drive someplace else to get what she wants. It's like, oh, just go someplace else. But, yeah, there's two basic things. Number one, the house is paid for. The other thing is Matt has to stay in the United States in order to get his money. So what's the deal? I have to try to find some place that has a good grocery store that's actually crappier than Tucumcari. Tricky. That's in a climate that Lisa will tolerate, which means I can't move her to either Mississippi, which is the only place worse than Tucumcari, or Wyoming, which is the only place with lower taxes. Well, I'm sure there's other places with lower taxes. Anyway, but it's colder than a winter's elbow for most of the year. And it's like, you know what? I'm screwed. So I just have to know that Lowe's is a horrible place. You go, get those grocery places online. They go, they don't come to Tucumcari, my dear happy friend. And you go, at least it doesn't want to have to do all of her shopping on Amazon.
You know, I like to pick out my own groceries.
And Lisa likes to pick stuff out. She doesn't want to call in and have them try to deliver. They won't deliver to Tucumcari. There's no point. She's already having to go pick it up anyway. So might as well just do the shopping too. Justify the trip. Be efficient. Oh my gosh, we're circling back to the way of being efficient, like in Redwood.
You know, And my efficiency means that every 6 weeks, I create a 6 week menu. And then, when I'm ready to go grocery shopping, I sit down and I look what I'm going to be cooking from one Thursday through the next. And I make a list. So I have my list when I go shop.
Yeah.
Except for when I forget my list.
But
you know what? Every time I've done that, and it doesn't happen all, but every time I have done that, somebody is at home that I can call and they can tell me what's on my phone.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And I can write it down. A couple of times it was math.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I write in cursive and he can't read cursive. But he can tell me enough of the letters that he can figure out that I know what it was. And a lot of times I write in code.
And she usually gives it to me and say, here's the stuff that you can go buy at the store, which you can feel like, and it's like, I don't understand. How much of this do you want?
And what is GRRD?
Yeah, it's like,
BP. It's green, red, white, and yellow bell peppers.
Figure that one out.
Well, you know, my lips are really skinny, and so I have to write small, and I got to fit it all in there. So you have to write it in code to get it all on one line.
You can do it on a bigger piece of paper.
And, you know, sometimes I'll make little marks next to it because that's how many I need to pick up.
Yeah, but it doesn't have a bounce. You just know what you want. It works fine most of the time. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, oh my gosh, if this is so bad at Lowe's, why are we here? Let's run away.
Well, it used to not be Lowe's. I loved shopping at first.
Yeah, first was good.
But then,
because it was its own independent thing and it wasn't trying to be niche anymore. You know, it was an actual full service thing. They have videos too. We used to go get videos every weekend.
Yeah.
And then we had to start building up our own stock because they would have a discount. It's a tough thing.
Then we had to switch from VHS tapes DVDs.
I wouldn't be surprised if Lowe's said, you know what, we really don't make much money in here. We should close that store. Like, or the city would beg them, oh, please don't! Just jack up the prices. Whatever you need to do to make sure that we still have a grocery store here. Because once your grocery store goes away, you're over as a town. You might as well just tell everybody to start leaving. Especially Tucum Carry, which is mostly, I don't mean to be rude to the nice people who are 80 years old.
Go around this guy.
And lived and grew up in Tucum Carry when Tucum Carry was a going, exciting place.
It was a hopping place, man.
When it was a hopping place.
It was
now
hopping
it's
and bopping.
Not. We do have a few more things, you know. We have some stuff. We have Dollar General, Family Dollar.
Yeah.
Because if you're of a certain size, you can qualify for them. But they don't really, I mean, they do some grocery items, but they don't really, it's mostly just junk. But that works for me because I'm kind of a junky guy. Anyway, so yeah, it'll end up being like Melrose Town, like 600 or 700. It's just mostly old people that have to go clean it. Tucum Carry has the added problem of we get a ton of drifters. You know, people who are on the interstate that kind of break down Tucum Carry. Or for whatever other reason. I don't understand why Tucum Carry has as many drifters as it does, but it does. Just people who are just just like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude to human beings, but these guys really just need to, I don't know, get management. Those guys need somebody else managing their lives. People who should probably, a lot of people on SSI, a lot of people on doing stuff like that, they ended up here. I have no idea why, except that, no, I do know why. I've talked to some people, and they say that once Albuquerque starts getting full of their homeless and drifter types, you know, people who just start falling through the cracks, we are one of Albuquerque's cracks. They will, I don't know how they do, I don't know if they just shove them in a boxcar, or put them over there, or they bus them over to us, or they give them a free U-Haul thing to come bring all their crap over to Tucumcari and get on some public housing program over here. I don't know, but you hear about stuff like that, and they go, well, they kind of sent me here because they said that they're public housing candidates, so I came here. And you go, great. And you go, you know what? It needs a place like that. It says, but do I really need to be living there? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? For all I know, this is Jesus' plan for me.
I think God came here and God put me in Tucumcari so I could learn charity towards these types of people. I struggle.
I know.
I do.
Here we are, back here. Okay.
Because he's going to keep me until I learn the lesson.
So,
it's my fault. You can blame me.
You know what? I kind of have a plan to leave, but I can't.
I would not. I would not struggle so much if I saw that person looking toward progressing.
Oh.
Doing a little bit of something to be self-sufficient on their own, but no, they just...
They're just seeing what they can get, you know? Hey, here's the new thing. I'll go over to the Latter-day Saint Church and I'll ask for help for, you know, my really big phone bill, my really big this, really big that. Every ranch president I've ever been involved with ultimately have to come to grips with the fact that you just can't give people what they want because...
Yeah, I have a feeling...
Because those guys will just rape you.
I have a feeling the couple that was there last week...
What?
...were asking for help.
They were? I didn't know that.
They came to Sunday school late. Bishop Bowles right after that.
Oh. Well, you know...
And apparently,
I think that half of what missionaries do is they go out and find new welfare cases to make the bishop crazy over it.
Apparently, he's a member, although he's a fact.
Okay.
And she's not.
They're all spread over the universe. I swear, Tucumcari is a sinkhole for lapsed Mormons who really don't want to be caught except when they're in really bad shape. Then they'll come to the church for help. Okay, I didn't know that. I thought they were somebody the missionaries picked up. Maybe not. Okay. That happens. And then, yeah, just like I said, we are like humanity's first aid station. Back in the old days, we used to watch a TV show called NASH, and they were the hospital. But there was always some frontline station that would send all their casualties to the MASH unit.
Yeah.
I said, we are that frontline thing. It says, but all the people we know here, they're all broken. They're all just, you know, and you're going, are they children of God? Yes. And you go, so what are you doing? You go, you can't just, you know, it's not just a seek and you shall find thing, because those guys would be living off the church 5 minutes if you let them. Every branch president, bishop I've ever been involved with had to learn that lesson at some point. It's hard. It's hard for them, especially if they're nice people.
And I'm sure they are, but, you know, I feel like they're the ones who, in the pre-existence, when there was this big war going on, that they didn't choose Satan's side, but they didn't necessarily choose Jesus' side. They just sat there.
Yeah, and they just got to
I'll just go with the winner. But didn't put forth any effort.
Sure.
And they're still doing this, and they're still doing the same thing.
Well, that's the same
now
thing.
That they're here on earth. Yeah. And they're not working towards any kind of progression forward. No forward momentum. No. And it just drives me insane.
Absolutely. I understand this completely. I know how you feel. And the fact that it's like, why am I here with these kind of people? Can't I just be with some other kind of people? Could I be
and
one of those big Utah wards that are full of really rich rancher types and they just all are nice to each other and there's no, you know, you don't even get a whiff of poverty anywhere.
I truly believe it's because he's trying to teach me charity.
I'm sorry to say, my tendency is to live in the dirty parts too.
Yeah.
Lisa knows that from our Oklahoma City thing. We could have gotten someplace better if we didn't.
I liked our house.
I know you liked our house, but it's a really bad part of town. Wasn't it?
It was not really a bad part. It was just industrial. You know, and a lot of people were like, why would you choose to live here? And it's like, because I don't have any neighbors right here.
The only neighbor I have, I actually like. This is odd. Usually neighbors don't like us. And they make our lives miserable. He's really quiet, and his dog doesn't really do much.
Every time I go in the backyard, the dog will bark at.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so what is the gas price here? $2.79?
Let's get to the cheaper there.
Really? I have a little over a quarter of a tank.
Oh, let's go further. Okay. Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine.
Of course, I've been shooting 80 miles an hour down the road.
Can't do that now. We're back in civilization.
I know.
Yuck.
And we're waiting for a train. And I'm going to go ahead and go over here.
All these pipes on us.
And another, I don't want to be sandwiched between two semis. There's
another
one right
there. Okay, well, I think this is probably a good place to stop. We've ranged out a whole lot.
And another train going this way.
Oh, we're going to be here for a while.
Oh, no, it's just two engines. No, no, it's not. I ain't got it.
Okay.
And it's going slow.
Yes, they all go slow through here. But, it's a good time to stop. And, everybody have a good day. I think we can actually publish this one, Lee. I don't think we broke any of our standing rules. We got really close. We got really close, but we didn't do it. So, all right, here we go. Have a great day. I'll say have a great day, everybody.
Have a great day, everybody.